This episode of Tech News Weekly is brought to you by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for a simple payment solution, check out Braintree. With one simple integration, you can offer your customers every way to pay, period. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, go to braintreepayments.com/TNW.
Starting Tech News Weekly in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, buddy, welcome to Tech News Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Zarin, and of course, I'm joined by Hey Suncast.
Hey, what's going on, Andrew?
How are you?
Yeah.
I know, you're having some issues over there. We'll get to your issues. I mean, you have a lot of issues, but today it's a technical problem.
And you're one to talk. Yeah.
Listen, today's issue is easy to fix. All the other ones, I don't know. I'm a work in progress, John. I'm like Michelangelo's, what did Michelangelo paint? What did he do? The Sistine Chapel. The Sistine Chapel. We have someone in the studio right now.
There's that community college education paying off.
Barely community college. dropped out after a week. But no, we have a studio. We have a special guest, the Skinny Pig. The infamous Instagram celebrity, the Skinny Pig. Dara's here hanging out. We're going to be eating after
this. So all of our stories are bacon related then?
All of our stories are bacon related. If you're not following the Skinny Pig on Instagram, you definitely should. It's at SkinnyPigNYC on Instagram. Also, she has a great blog, The Skinny Pig. The Skinny Pig NYC? Skinny Pig. Yeah, Suncast is the webmaster. Yeah, so we're going to be... I'll pull up the website in a little bit, and I'll give you guys a little preview of what The Skinny Pig does, because it is unbelievable, the stuff that she has on there. Also, John Prosser, Front Page Tech, joining us. Hey, John.
Yeah, sad John Prosser. I heard the
sad
according
John
to Andrew,
Prosser.
I'm sad.
Why are you so sad?
Why are you so blue, Panda Bear?
I didn't know I was sad. And then I'm just sitting here getting ready for the show, and Andrew's like, John, let's have a talk. This is your safe place.
No, you look a little sad. You look a little sad.
I don't think I'm sad.
It's okay. We'll talk about your sadness and your seasonal depression in a couple of minutes. But let's thank a sponsor of ours, and that's Braintree. Guys, we've been talking about Braintree for a very, very long time. I get the emails from you guys, and I encourage it. Continue sending those emails. Whenever you sign up for Braintree, I want to hear your experience with our sponsors. People I know that aren't even regular listeners, guys that tune in every now and then, they heard about Braintree, they signed up. It's unbelievable the amount of positive feedback I get from it. Now, what is Braintree, you ask? John, do you know what Braintree is? Of course you know what Braintree is, because you think it's excellent.
I don't know what John you're talking about.
I'm talking to Suncast. He knows what Braintree is. So with Braintree, here's the way that it works. Let's say you have a business, you have an app, and you want to accept payments, you want to accept mobile payments. It is a nightmare to implement all the different payment methods. But with Braintree, it's a zero-hassle way of doing it. It's a couple lines of code. You plug it in. You could accept payments via PayPal, Android Pay, Apple Pay, Android, PayPal, all major credit cards, even Bitcoin, which is unbelievable. They also have, this is cool, you could try out the sandbox and see for yourself by going to braintreepayments.com/TNW. That's braintreepayments.com/TNW. John, as a Suncast, as a web developer, and you do some apps, how important is it to simplify the code and make it easy for the developer?
Oh, gosh, if you can spend your time creating the application itself and not have to worry about the actual e-commerce part of it, oh, gosh, it's so much easier.
It's simple. It's a simple, secure payment method. Payments are really quickly put out. You don't have to wait forever to get paid. 10 lines of in-app code. The SDK is in 7 different languages. Braintree code supports Android, iOS, and JavaScript clients. What are you waiting for? Guys, go sign up. BraintreePayments.com/TNW. Try out the sandbox and see for yourself. I want to thank Braintree for supporting TNW for supporting the GFK network. Okay, boys and girls.
I need to use Braintree.
I know, you really do, because
it's
amazing.
On our website, we use Stripe, which I'm telling you 100% honestly, that if we had to, if we lost the website somehow and we had to redo it because of Stripe alone, I wouldn't. I would just forget about it and walk away because it is a pain in the ass.
See, that's the thing with this. A lot of people don't know that, how difficult this stuff is. But Burning Tree makes it super easy. Guys, also Uber, Airbnb, Hotel Tonight, Living Social, these are websites, and the list goes on and on, that are currently implementing Braintree. Oh, and GitHub actually uses Braintree. I didn't know that. Excellent. So, guys, let's talk about the big story this week, and that is the FBI's order, backdoor order to Apple to access the phone of the San Bernardino killer's iPhone.
This has been a week for me.
This is, I know, John Prosser does Front Page Tech, and he's been very busy covering this because this is a big story for a number of reasons. One, here's where I stand, okay? The guy's a terrorist. He's horrible. The FBI should have access to the phone. They should be able to see what's happening on this phone. They should be able to see who he's speaking with. But there are long-term problems that could arise if Apple is going to create a special software to essentially remove any kind of encryption, any kind of password protection that you have on your phone. Let's go down the line here. Let's go to Suncast first. And I want to go to John because he's also covered this all week. Suncast, what do you think of the story?
This is very interesting, and it's something that even the big news companies have been really following lately, because this is a big tech news story, but it's also a big news story in general. The FBI basically wanted Apple to open up the phone, basically crack it so they can get in. He has a passcode on it, or did have a passcode on it.
Are they at nine attempts right now?
Apparently the FBI is unable to crack this.
So they've been attempting, right?
After 10 failed attempts... What's that?
They've been attempting. They're at like eight or nine attempts.
Yeah. They're at the ninth attempt. And after 10 attempts, the phone auto erases itself. So okay. The FBI wants to preserve this information that's on the phone. So they've asked Apple to, you know, see if they can do anything about it. Apple's refused. So the FBI went over to the court and got a court order that forces Apple to comply with the court order to decrypt or preserve the phone in some manner so that the FBI can continue trying without worrying about the phone auto erasing itself. So far, Apple is still refusing.
So, John, what's your take on this?
Well, this is – so I thought this – when this came out, I thought it was like a no-brainer. I thought it was a simple story. I covered it, and I had no idea the effect that it was about to have on the internet. And I tweeted just my opinion, which I'll get to in a second. I just tweeted the show in which I reported it, and I said, Apple is protecting you, not terrorists. Because when I was streaming live, people in chat were like, protect terrorists. And then the tweet got like 70 retweets and 200 favorites. It was ridiculous. And then that followed by me getting a bunch of hate tweets, and I support terrorism, and just it was an awful week.
Yeah.
But essentially, the FBI has had this phone for a while. They got the phone. Obviously, they confiscated it just around the time that they captured these people, when they actually like went into the apartment and stuff. But they've had it for a while. And John was right. Apple gives you 10 attempts before it, like, literally self-destructs within the software. And they are on the ninth attempt. And the FBI is basically asking Apple not to just give them access to the phone. They want Apple to create a version of iOS that would allow the FBI unlimited attempts to guess the password.
So in the past, might I add to this, the FBI has requested very similar things from Apple. And Apple has complied. Tim Cook has complied, and they have provided access to certain things. The story now is, as John said, they essentially want a tool created that they no longer have to go to Apple, and they could just do it on their own.
Right. They want to be able to guess the password. So, I mean, we know this is brute force hacking. It's where there's algorithms you can use and a certain pattern of numbers or letters and eventually guess a password. So that's what they want to do. They want
it's going to take forever for them to figure it out.
At least they'll have the chance to get in, you know. That's what they want. They just want Apple to give them an opportunity to get in. And as Andrew said, The information that Apple does have, they have turned over. Apple doesn't have much information, but the information that they do have, they've complied, they've worked with the FBI, and they've given it over.
It's a sticky situation. Listen, I do agree that the FBI should have access to this person's phone. I 100% I agree with this. This is not a petty drug dealer. This isn't a drunk driving case. This is a major. It's a terrorist attack, essentially.
Everybody can agree that the information on the phone should be available to the FBI. Everybody agrees about that, pretty much, and that this is a very rare occasion, a rare case. And even the court order specifies that this software is supposed to be created specifically for only this device. But I think Tim Cook is still worried that even if they do create this tool, they're going to open up this slippery slope where other agencies are going to come demanding that Apple do the same thing for them.
Right. And for other things, you know, like where do you draw the line here? You can't say, well, you could only use it if it's a terrorist attack. You know, it doesn't work
that. Which is why Tim Cook sent out this letter saying that this would be a dangerous precedent if they did agree to this. But I do agree that Apple should in some way get this information and provide it to the FBI.
So Curtis B.
In this particular case.
So Curtis B. in our chat room has something to add. He goes, the two main modifications they wanted, which is the FBI, is one, unlimited password attempts. So meaning they could try as many times as they want to brute force access this phone. Two, no time delay on submitting new password attempts through a cable or Bluetooth. So essentially, they want to run a program. They want to just push as many passwords to this thing with no time delay. I don't know. You know, this is a great example of where do you stand on this? Yeah, the case-wise, yes, you side with the FBI. They need access to this. They need to access this phone. They need to see what was being said and done on here. But the other side is you can't, once you provide the FBI with a tool like that and access like that, you can't say, well, you could only use it in this scenario. Doesn't work like that.
Right. And that's where it falls to is that Apple doesn't want the FBI to be able to do this for whatever reason that they don't. I'm not even making sense at this point. So
I mean, they're not saying like Apple's not saying, no, you shouldn't have information on the phone. They're saying that they don't want to create something that would allow you to get into the phone because once it's created, it is created. Boom, done. Then there's a backdoor with
basically
iOS
what you're saying it's
used.
Once they open Pandora's box,
yeah,
you can't shove it back in.
And you both made a good point of like what are the boundaries here? Here this is going to get real specific real quick, but this court order is based on what's called the All Writs Act, which was created in like 1769, over 200 years old, and it basically states in the All Writs Act that in an investigation, any third party ordered to contribute has to help aid the investigation by any information that they have as the third party. Apple, in this case, being the third party. The problem is it's over 200 years old and they weren't encrypting mules and horses back then. So now we're in a different age of technology and it hasn't been updated at all. So now either they're going to go to court or Congress is going to have to take a look at it, which this is how deep this goes now, because we have the biggest company in the world and, of course, the FBI and the government involved. So if Congress has to take a look at this, they're going to need to update the All Writs Act that hasn't been updated in 200 years and give us guidelines based off of what they believe you should be allowed to do with encryption.
And also now you're looking into Google, you're looking into, all these other companies that how about LastPass, for example? You know, I'm a much smaller company that can't fight the federal government.
I really hate to say this, but like at this point, I'm not agreeing with any terrorist act or anything. Obviously, we all agree.
I think that that's the basic common sense here.
Right. Obviously, the two terrorists are pieces of shit. We get that. And we all feel for everyone affected by this, the families, the actual people that died, but unfortunately, this problem has become bigger than that itself, bigger than those few people. It now affects everyone and every company moving forward, and we're going to need a decision here pretty soon, because obviously the FBI is not getting what they want, and Apple's not getting what they want either.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where this
case
goes.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So the FBI has also said that they're thinking about using the dead suspect's fingerprints to unlock the phone. Why have they not done that?
Yeah, why haven't they done that?
Why are they making such a big deal over this court order and getting Apple to create this software when they're thinking about actually just using the suspect's fingerprints to open it?
Yeah, if there was Touch ID...
Why have they been waiting to do that?
Well, I wonder if Touch ID... I wonder if it does have Touch ID. Maybe it doesn't, and they want them to somehow activate...
It's an iPhone 5S, I believe.
Oh, okay. So then it does have Touch ID.
Well, I mean, it all depends on if he set it up. Touch ID. Depends on how lazy he was.
I don't set up Touch ID on my phones. I hate it. I don't want someone to cut my finger off and use it. That's what everybody's planning, by the way. I don't know.
Why haven't they tried that? And they're forcing Apple. Because if you look
it could be as simple. One, it could be a giant conspiracy that they want. They already have access to this phone and they want Apple to create something.
This is something that the government has been pushing, and even the administration, this government has been pushing for the past year and a half for this backdoor access into encrypted technologies. Not just Apple, but Google, Facebook, Twitter.
This is like their perfect opportunity to make it so public, too. You know, Apple's such a major, major company, and this is such a major incident. And half of the conservatives in the world are just like, you know, just forget privacy, forget our protection, forget what any company has ever said you need in this phone, blah, 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 blah. But all we can ask, or at least all I can ask, is for people to be just a little bit more open-minded about this, because it's bigger than you think.
Oh, no, this is a much bigger story. Listen, there's a couple things. One, it could be a giant conspiracy, and they want to set precedents, and they want to be able to have a tool that they could use in the future. That's one theory, which is totally, totally suitable for this case. Or two, you know, we're talking about Touch ID, and why haven't they used Touch ID if this phone does have Touch ID? It could be as simple as they went to 9 attempts and then someone realized that the phone has Touch ID. You know what I mean? It's not. It could just be incompetence in that sense. What would you rather hope? That it's a conspiracy that they want to have a tool, or they totally forgot that this thing has Touch ID and they're like, yeah, we got this. We still have the body. We could just use this fingerprint.
Listen, I have no problem if Apple is the keeper of this tool. If Apple creates the tool, Apple is in charge of the tool. Apple creates the tool, uses the tool, and then hands the information off to the FBI. I have no problem with that. I said the government isn't in control and the keeper of this tool.
Yeah,
that makes me skeptical and worried.
Yeah, and that's what they want really with this. That's the scary part, that they do want this. I wonder if Apple could give them the tool and just patch it in their next version. You know, here you go, patched. All right, guys, let's move on to another story. Suncast, you want to pick one?
Yeah, so I want to talk about this leaked video for the Samsung Galaxy S7 and S7 Edge that we saw this week.
Yes.
So apparently a YouTube channel, some Asian YouTube channel, was showing us
Indonesian
a new commercial. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because you don't understand a single word that's in this video, and I don't think if there's even any words. I don't even remember.
You're not supposed to, John.
What's that?
You're not supposed to.
That's why it was
leaked. So in this video, we see these new Galaxy S7 and S7 Edge. And in one scene, they're splashing water onto this thing. So it's implying that the new Galaxy S7 and S7 Edge is waterproof.
Yes. It's going to have added pressure-sensitive display. That sounds like a 3D touch, doesn't it? High-speed charging ports. It's possibly waterproof. It can shoot lasers. So I'm hoping for that.
Right.
It's going to have it's Korean software giant, Korean tech giant. This is what the Wall Street Journal is reporting, so take it as a grain of salt. It's also considering a retina scanner in some new version. So I don't know if this one's going to have it. From the images that I've seen, the video that I've seen, it looks exactly like the S5. If you're going for the regular S7, it's just... it just lacks the bump. Aesthetically, it's the same.
You mean you said it looks like the S5. It looks like the
S6. I'm sorry, S6. Right. Yeah. It looks just like the S6.
Catch me?
Which is fine. I like the S6. But the Edge is going to be 5.5 inches, and it's going to be a nicer one. I think the Edge is the flagship one in this series of phones.
Yeah, it's pretty.
What do you think of it, John? You like it?
Yeah. I mean, I think we talked about Galaxy devices in the last episode because I think there was some leaked information about the S7. But I'm fine. I like the design. I think that this is one exception to their design aesthetics that I actually like, because the S4, the S5, I didn't like, but I really, really thought they nailed it with the S6. And hey, if it ain't broke, then you need to forget about it.
Is a waterproof phone that important? Are people?
Well, no. Wasn't the S5 dust and water resistant?
It was water. Yeah, it was dust and water and resistant.
Then the S6 wasn't, and everyone flipped shit. So just give it back and forget about it.
It's like the meme that went up.
Concept of being what is and what is not waterproof.
It was like
waterproof
the meme.
Or water resistant.
No,
S5 was water resistant.
Is it really?
Well, you can't go, you know, X amount of meters underwater with it, obviously. But if you get a little bit of water on this thing, it's fine.
Next leak trailer to see if they put it in a toilet or something.
Well, did you see the meme for the iPhone last time with the latest iPhone? And all these idiots started putting it in water because some meme was put out saying it's waterproof.
Yes, I remember that.
How awesome is that? I love that.
Morons.
I love that. I'm hopeful that this is a good phone. You know what's interesting? So I have the S6 here, and I was hopeful that the S7 would be, you know, something to want to buy. I don't know if I want to buy it. It's no reason to get this phone.
Well, you also
the
have
Indonesian
the
trailer didn't sell you,
and that's the
no,
same
the
argument
Asian
you can make with the iPhone whenever you want to upgrade. If you have the most current model, when the new model comes out, you know, it's less of an incentive for you to upgrade because what you have is already fairly new.
Yeah. You know what is interesting? I'll tell you what is interesting. So the New York City Toy Fair was this weekend. Rich Butler, a good friend of mine, was there, and Mattel unveiled the Thing Maker. It is essentially a 3D printer that is for home use, and you can make things like figurines, jewelry, accessories. It's actually awesome. Have you seen this thing?
I have not.
It's really, really cool. So you could design something on your tablet, on your phone, via an app on iOS or Android.
Yeah, the ThingMaker design app.
Yeah, the ThingMaker design app.
It's basically a revival of the 60s era and 90s era, you know, creepy crawlers, bake oven, you know, where you get this gel and molds, and you put the gel in the mold and you bake it, and you get these kind of gummy little things.
Kids
it's
got
basically
burns,
a new take on that, but using a 3D printer, which is much safer and much more flexible in what you can actually print or create.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool that you can make stuff like this on... You know, I'm waiting. You know, we talk about inventions, right? Like, the greatest invention of the 20th century was the internet. You know, people say, if you ask historians, they say it was the washing machine. And the reason for that is due to efficiency. Due to the washing machine, we have so much more time to do other things. And it's a sign that a emerging country, emerging nation is becoming a non-emerging nation. They've emerged when they have washing machines. It was a really interesting TED Talk that I listened to. But for the 21st century, the 3D printer may be that invention. The opportunities are endless with these things. The fact that you could essentially, you know, just build your furniture, something breaks, you just print out a schematic.
They're talking about 3D printing organs.
I know. It's unbelievable.
How cool is that?
This is a cool spin. I mean, this is just the beginning of this. The fact that I could make my own toys as a kid, and most likely what they're going to do, they're gonna probably link up with other Mattel brands, other, you know, toys that they have, and every line for Mattel is gonna have their own 3D printer schematic, so you can make your own toys at home, which is really awesome.
Absolutely.
I think that's really cool.
I wish I had something like this when I was a kid, so I could create a figurine of whatever I wanted.
I know. What do we have?
You can create your own custom GI Joes.
What do we have? What was the one that we the creepy crawlies? No, what was? You know the things the arrows in the studio. Do you remember the thing that you used to make your own, like gummy bears, and you used to eat them? What were they called? It was like gummies.
Were you just eating the creepy crawlers?
It was creepy crawlers, yeah.
Were you just eating the creepy crawlers? You know you weren't supposed to eat those, right?
You weren't supposed to eat the creepy crawlers?
No, God, no. Uh-uh.
No, there was one that you ate.
That would explain a lot.
Maybe I just ate a bunch of plastic. It explains so much.
Yeah, I think you did, dude. Or just ate...
No, there was
gummy
one.
Gummy bears with man buns.
That's why I have a man bun now. There was one that you made it with like gelatin, and it wasn't there was different versions of this. And it was like this mad scientist, and he had like weird potions he used to make and drink.
Andrew, I think you were on a lot of drugs as a kid.
Yeah. You can get on mic if you want. Yeah, you can get on mic if you want, if you find it. This thing is awesome. And I was on drugs as a kid. Thank you very much. I think this is awesome. I know Suncast wants one now, actually.
I do.
Googling.
Yeah. Let's go to another story here.
It's only $300, which is not a bad price. I mean, that's easily affordable.
Was it called Zombie Lab?
Oh, maybe it was Zombie Lab.
Eat everything you make.
Dr. Dreadful, Zombie Lab, yeah. That was it. Is this still available? Dr. Dreadful. Oh, my God. This was it. This was the one. You made it in this, like, skull's brain.
Yeah.
Eat everything you make.
Brains as a kid.
Yeah. Awesome.
I love those commercials back then, too. They were so awesome.
And there was, like, 50 different varieties of this, you know, from different brands. So, I guess, pick another story.
So, I want to talk about this new 5D disc that researchers have been talking about. It's a new 5D disc that can store data until, you know, well after the sun burns out. Researchers at the University of Southampton's Optical Research Center announced on Tuesday that they've perfected a technique that can record data in five dimensions and keep it safe for billions of years. The method etches data into a thermally stable disc using femtosecond laser burst, and the storage medium itself can hold up to 360 terabytes per disk, can withstand temperatures of up to 1,000 degrees Celsius, and is estimated to last up to almost 14 billion years at room temperatures without degrading.
So the purpose of this The purpose of this is when and if the impending apocalypse does arrive, we could at least keep our cat photos on a disk, right? Is that how it works? John, how realistic is this that this is going to survive? I mean, just the worst of the worst.
Well, I don't. The theory is that it can withstand. Who knows what it can withstand? But it'll last for billions of years,
zombies.
Regardless. Who knows what's gonna like?
But how is it going to be accessible?
They don't care. Well, they just want to be able to say, "Hey, look how long your stuff will stay right here. When you're dead, it'll be right here. You'll be fine." I don't care about this. When I'm dead, I'm dead. I'll put my information somewhere, but I don't need a drive to last billions of years. Is it cool that we can create it? Yeah, cool. Awesome. But
now we can actually download the human brain onto something.
How do
and
we
keep
store
it? There for
we could
of years
download
for
Andrew's
what?
Brain, all 360 terabytes of it, and put it onto this little disk
is
and
that,
store it forever.
Wait a minute, that's how big my... I'm 360
okay.
terabytes?
I don't know.
What if they were like, hey, we have this floppy disk here, and it'll last billions of years. We're only, 10 years since then, and where are we going to put a floppy disk? What are we going to plug a floppy disk into? Nothing.
Forget about floppies. How about zip disks? Do you know how many zip disks I have? My entire DMX album is on a zip disk. I can't ever access it.
You know what's funny is I totally believe
you. They're not going to care.
What is this? What did you say, John? Suncast?
I totally believe that you have it on a zip drive.
Oh, I swear to God I do. And it's spelled DMX MP3Z with a Z. MP3Z. I also have one that's just labeled
wares. No, but this is pretty cool that the fact that there's a medium now that can hold up to 360 terabytes. And it doesn't degrade, which is just something that's really cool. The fact that you can store that amount of data now in an archival format and just
only
have
you
it
need
for,
that,
for
John.
Literally forever.
You're the one that has weird audio clips of everyone and everything because you're always recording.
John just is so always can, watching, yeah. Well, he's also always watching. I see the little camera in my bedroom light go on every now and then. And then Joss is like, what is that? I'm like, oh, it's just John. Don't worry about it. It turns off after a while. Just let him. Just let him see. It's okay. It's fine. We're okay with it. No, I mean this is cool, and this is just another way to preserve data. And you know we have that bank in I forgot where it was, somewhere very cold where we keep like all the seeds, the super seed bank.
Like a life vault or something.
Yeah, it's like this life vault. Well, I guess now we could do that with data and information.
Yeah,
we can bring back Rick Rolls if we need them.
We could. We could definitely bring Rick Rolls.
This actually ties in kind of good with this other story that we have on our list.
Sure.
Science confirms that gravitational waves do exist. The National Science Foundation at Caltech and MIT have confirmed the existence of gravitational waves or ripples in space-time, which is something that Einstein theorized way back when. And this is basically confirmed by LIGO, the two LIGOs that they have, which are Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatories.
Did you cover this, John?
No.
Because this theory's been around for a long time, and they were finally able to confirm it, and it's unbelievable that Albert Einstein, 50 years ago, came up with a theory.
That dude has to be the luckiest guesser that has ever been on the planet.
You think that's what it is? This guy's just throwing a fucking dart at the wall and just hoping?
This was Einstein's theory. He would just sit there and be like, huh, wonder if that's a thing. And then 50 years later, they're like, it's a thing, dude. And he's like, oh, well, cool.
I wonder if he did that with everything. Like, he's like, I wonder if we could box macaroni. Like, if we could do mac, like box mac and
Tesla
cheese.
Tesla was same way. Look at all the crap that Tesla thought up, and it's still relevant today.
Yeah. You know what? I think they just took a shot at the dark. I think they were just like, okay, let's come up with, like, a crazy thing. He's like, this is, like, 1742. Some guy's like, you know what we need? We need something called an airplane. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take a giant steel tube, strap two steel wings on this thing, and just make the thing fly. Is it possible? Who knows? Let someone else figure it out. And this guy now gets credit for everything, whoever the guy was. I mean, this is awesome. You know what? I'm going to start inventing stuff.
This is a very serious thing. Basically, what happened is that it was an observation of two black holes actually colliding and them observing the gravitational waves from the two black holes colliding. And in layman's terms, what this really means is that we can now develop warp technology.
Yay.
So what do you think they're going to do with this in the long run, John? What do you theorize in this?
What's John?
Suncast, not you.
Well, obviously, warp technology. We're going to be able to create the Enterprise and fly off into, wherever.
It's very, very cool.
It'll be great. And we've got these new 5D discs that can store 360 terabytes. So we got plenty of, way to archive and store data for this new trip.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome. Space travel.
This gives us more questions than answers because of this as well. I believe they've also confirmed that time can be compressed. So when there's listen to this. When there's waves going outward after a collision, then what happens after that is like as they are continuing, they're obviously separate waves of a collision. So within those waves, theoretically, time can be compressed in space, where if you enter one wave, things are a little bit faster for you in terms of time. Time moves faster in some, and then because it's compressed, and then in other waves, it's not compressed, so it's slower. It's too much for my brain to handle. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay here on Earth. I'm going to store all my stuff on floppy disks, and when I'm dead, I'm gone. That's it.
That's it. That's how you're going to do it.
That's it.
So
I'd love to see you as a prepper.
That wouldn't be a good one.
Yeah. Before we wrap it up, hey, I want to talk to Dara a little bit. Hey, Dara.
Hi, guys.
Can you hear us?
I don't know.
Can you hear them?
I can hear you.
John, say something.
I can hear her.
Okay, I can hear you guys. Sorry.
So I want to talk about the skinny pig because this kind of goes with tech because what you've done is create an entire brand and identity on Instagram. I don't have the camera on you. I should have turned the camera around.
No, that's fine. I look like shit.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Perfect.
Can I curse?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Okay.
So the skinny pig.
Wait a minute. We have to mark this occasion because this is basically the first time that we've ever had a female on Tech News Weekly.
Yes, it is. It is.
Well, then. Oh. I mean, you can turn the camera on me if you want.
Things are about to get weird here.
New demographics.
So here's the skinny pig, Instagram.com/skinnypignyc.
Yeah.
You have 33,000 followers.
I do.
And you had 32 last week.
I know.
Sunday, you had 32. So every week you're picking up like a couple thousand here and there.
I'd say I pick up a few hundred a day.
It's freaking awesome. And you started the brand because you love food.
Yes, I love to eat. I love to cook. And I like fattening stuff.
So... So I'm looking here. Look at these. Look at all this stuff.
Yeah.
What's the story? Like, why are
How
you
many
doing
of those
this?
Photos have bacon in it?
Quite a few. But actually, wait, at the top, I don't know if there's any of those do.
No, it's all.
Oh, wow, yeah, that's weird. Okay, oh, well, there's bacon. One. There's bacon one. Guac. The one on the left, I'm pretty sure, is bacon, too. The one on the. Okay, that's a whole row of bacon.
Yep. Tell us why you started this. Why did you start doing it?
Just because I was bored with life at the time, and I was working a horrible job, and I wanted a creative outlet to do some stuff.
And it's become
like
a
this.
Brand.
Yeah. Well,
now
yeah.
you're a brand.
I am. It's yeah. true.
This is awesome. Skinny Pig NYC on Instagram. I'm on there. I think there's a
and
couple
I am on Twitter, but it's you know my so, Twitter. You're not
making
is, like,
you're
nothing.
Not making all of this. Like you made this, right?
No,
this
no. Thing? I mean, I don't make everything. A you lot made of this, this is one? Restaurants. I made that. Yeah. Well, wait, no, I'm lying. I made the egg. That's Peter Luger's steak.
Okay, but you at home. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, but it's mostly yeah. restaurants and then recipes. It's a combination of things.
Very,
so.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm starving now.
Hey, I know, you recently had a couple articles published too. I think you were on. Was it Bravo TV that you had an article published
yep.
on?
Bravo TV, also Thrillist, and Food Network's blog FN Dish. So I write for I freelance.
That's
for those
amazing.
Sites. Yeah, thank you.
It's awesome. I take full credit for this.
I mean, you kind of can.
I kind of can.
You pushed me into making it more. So.
I told her. I said, "You got to do this. You're onto something, kid."
Yeah, I mean, it's great. You know, if
I was like an old cheesy, like an agent. I'm like, "You're onto something, kid. You got talent. We got you.
You
we
did,
just got to find
you,
it."
You said it. You're
You're a modern Einstein.
I'm a modern Einstein, yeah. You know, Einstein came up with this theory. I told Dara that she should have a blog of food photos.
Mm-hmm.
That's
oh,
as far
yeah.
as my reach goes.
Yeah,
pretty much the same thing, honestly.
Hey, how exactly. is it not? How is it not? Instagram.com/theskinnypignyc. We're going to hang out. We're going to get some food now.
Yay.
Einstein would just sit there and be, I wonder if there's going to be a skinny pig.
I wonder if there's going to be a skinny pig. All right, guys. That's it for this week. Quick and easy show. Go to our website, GFK. Are you Snapchatting?
I am. Say hi.
Too sweet me, bro. All right.
Yay.
If you're on Instagram, check it out. Hey, guys, subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available. GFQNetwork.com. John Prosser, front page tech, front page tech, is also on GFQ.
Yeah, am I even a guest on the show anymore?
No, you're a regular.
I think the
now.
Past month I've been on three episodes.
Well, thank God, because mm-hmm. I yeah. am terrified of Suncast.
Dude, everyone should be, honestly. Especially now that he's going to be storing all your data for billions of years.
I know. He's going to make a robot of me. I cannot wait for that day. Hey, I was on your show last time. Before the last time we did the show.
You want to come on again?
I would love to come on again. I had a
Next
great,
week.
Great time.
Okay, we'll put you
okay.
on.
Put me on. And I hate doing podcasts, but I love doing yours because you're actually really good at what you do.
Thanks.
Suncast. Andrew. At Suncast on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. With a K.
With a K.
With a K.
Not with a C. And sure. Anything coming up? Nothing? That's it?
That's it.
Okay.
That's
it. Love you
I'm
too.
Boring.
All right. Sayonara, everybody. Until next time.